السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. First of all, I would like to tell you that inshallah the majlis will be about 25 minutes. So those who expect a short majlis to be 3 minutes, so they now have my permission to leave after 3 minutes. Inshallah, 20 to 25 minutes. Saturday night, there are lots of other programs, walimas, nikahs. However, I decided to continue where we left off last week. We were discussing nifaq and hypocrisy. And I mentioned that Hazrat Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that this nifaq and hypocrisy is sikkara ayyulwaq. It is the currency of the time. Being two-faced, something else in the heart and something outside. That was the sifat of the munafiqeen. That they had no love for deen, no Islam, no Quran, no Sunnah, no Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, muhabbat in their hearts. But outwardly they used to express it, and very loudly and boldly. So that was nifaq or hypocrisy in the aqaids. Nowadays we can't point to anybody and say that you got nifaq or hypocrisy in your aqidah, that you are pretending to be a Muslim. Unless, of course, there are very clear signs. Sometimes a person comes and says, I want to accept Islam. So we explain to the person what Islam is, and he reads the kalima, gives the shahada, and thereafter he says, now I want to make nikah with a certain Muslim woman. So straight away we come to conclusion that this person accepted Islam because he wanted to marry a certain Muslim woman. Now we have no right to conclude like that. We don't know what is his niyat. We haven't sliced his heart and seen. So we will see what are his actions after that, after the nikah. Then we will see whether he goes to church, he goes to temple, he makes namaz, or what does he do? What are his actions? What are his beliefs? What does he still hold on to those cultural and religious practices of his past religion? Those are the things that we are going to look at before declaring whether he is a Muslim or not a Muslim. But at the time that he is accepting, we are going to believe in him because we can't slice his heart. As Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala in one of the battles, when he was about to take the neck off. Now it's a battle against the kuffar, and they are fighting with all their might and main, and that suddenly this person reads kalima. So if you don't blame Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala, that he took it to mean that this person is just trying to save his life now. Just now he was going to attack me. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very disturbed with this action of his. And he asked him, did you slice his heart and see? How are you going to answer Allah ta'ala? So we can't see into the heart of a person. So that was nifaq or hypocrisy in the aqaid. But when it comes to our amal and action, then there's lots of hypocrisy. And most of it is very, very evident. Very, very evident. We discuss certain issues about lies. What Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned, ayatul munafiq salat, iza haddasa kazaba. Now we discuss that. The three main signs that he gave that the person speaks, he speaks lies, makes promise, he breaks promise. When he's entrusted, he betrays the trust. Or in another Hadith Sharif, when he enters into any kind of debate or argument, then he uses vulgar language. He's abusive. Now these were very clear indicators that there can be nifaq or hypocrisy in amal. And this is a very, very common trait in the Muslim Ummah. And all of us, we must look into our lives and we will find many of these traits. Sometimes it is a trait of lies, sometimes a trait of breaking promises, sometimes it is a trait of betraying trust. And besides that, all the other sins that we engage in, it is some kind of hypocrisy. That on the one hand, we have made a promise and a pledge to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that we are believers in Him and His Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. So therefore, if we are believers, then we should be obeying Allah ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Then what kind of life is that? That on the one hand, we say very, very loudly, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And then we do everything that is against the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Everything that we do. Then we follow our nafs and we follow shaitan. So that is a clear sign that there is nifaq in the amal. Now we continue from where we left off. نفاق جس کی مذمت قرآن و حدیث میں منصوص ہے آج کل ایک فن محمود قابل تحصیل ہو گیا ہے جس کو باقاعدہ سیکھا جاتا ہے اور اس میں کمال پیدا کرنا ایک انسانی کمال سمجھا جاتا ہے سب سے زیادہ ہوشیار اور چالاک وہ آدمی ہے جو اس فن نفاق کا زیادہ ماہر ہو جو بہروپیے کی طرح نقل کو اصل باور کرانے میں خوب مشاق ہو نفاق ایک ایسا امر قوی ہے کہ اس خصلت پر قرآن کریم نے کفر سے بھی زیادہ نکیر کی ہے مگر آج کل اس سے معیوب سمجھنا تو درکنار بنظر استحسان دیکھا جاتا ہے اور یہ سکہ ایسا رائج اور مقبول عام ہو گیا ہے کہ بازاریوں اور اوباشوں سے نکل کر عام طور پر گھروں میں دوستوں میں اس کا رواج ہو گیا ہے اور اب تو نوبت یہاں تک آ پہنچی ہے کہ لڑکا باپ کے ساتھ، شاگرد استاذ کے ساتھ، بیوی شوہر کے ساتھ، حتیٰ کہ مرید شیخ کے ساتھ اس کو بے جھجک استعمال کرنے لگا ہے۔ منافق اپنی تقریر سے، تحریر سے، طرز و انداز سے، غزے کے ہر طرح سے یہ یقین دلاتا ہے کہ میرا باطن ویسا ہی ہے جیسا ظاہر ہے۔ وہ یہ کوشش کرتا ہے کہ کسی قرینے سے بھی دوسرے کو میرے باطن کی خبر نہ ہو۔ What a naqsha, what a picture he has painted, and what reality. He says, is this nifaq and hypocrisy, just to give the gist of it, on which the Quran Sharif has made more rejection, more condemnation than even kufr. Because kufr, the person tells you openly that I don't believe and finish. But where the person says that I believe, and then his heart he doesn't believe. So that is a very dangerous person. The plotting, planning, scheming behind the Sahaba-e-Kiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, or against Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the Masjid-e-Zirar that they had built up and other meetings of theirs, of the munafiqeen. That is very dangerous because the person is like a snake inside your sleeve. Person who is a snake inside the sleeve is very dangerous. Pretending to be a very close friend because the sleeve is very close to the person's body. So that is very dangerous. It's more dangerous than that snake which is outside. So this nifaq and hypocrisy, he says, now it is a kind of an art or a science which is learned. Like how people go to colleges, universities and learn some kind of sciences. So it seems that now if this whole world is a kind of a university in which we learn the science of hypocrisy. How to be two-faced. How to pretend. Whether it is in our religious way of life or anything else, this pretense is a very, very dangerous thing. We are misleading a lot of people with our zahir. We don't want to let anybody get to know what is our batin, what is our inside. Our outside namazes, our libas, our garments, our discussions, our attendance of majalis and programs, our going out in the jamaat, going to the khanqahs, studying in Darul Ulooms, teaching in Darul Ulooms. Now all these things are misleading sometimes. Behind it there's a lot of pretense. There is no haqiqat, there's no reality. It is nothing but just the surat. And with the surat you cannot attain anything. The ikhlas is mafqood, it is lost. We have no sign of ikhlas now. No matter what kind of bayans we give, and no matter what kind of nasihas we make to others, and no matter how much we show through our zahir that we are very pious and very righteous and very God-fearing. But when it comes to the crunch, then it is all revealed that how much of piety there was and how much of taqwa there was. So he says this, what we term as diplomacy in these days, that is diplomacy, art of speaking lies. Now look at all these WikiLeaks that they're talking about. You don't know how much more will leak out behind the doors, what they talk and what they talk in front of the person are two different things. So we are warned about this. So he says this has become like a science now. How to speak lies, how to mislead, how to pretend to be pious. It's an art which seems to be now learnt from others instead of honesty, truthfulness, which was the hallmark of a Muslim. A Muslim, that was his hallmark. He was recognized by that. Purity of the hearts. We are talking about Muslim brothers, Muslim sisters, of Muslim ummah, Muslim nations, who are supposed to be knowing the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He says this now seems to have come out from the lives of those people whom we used to say are bazaris. That means people of the marketplaces. They speak a lot of lies. It's a very common trait of them. All those people that we normally talk about as people of loose morals or bad akhlaq, and nobody really recognized as a person that is in the masajid, or the person is in deen work and activities, or the person is in madaris or darul ulooms, or he is in other kind of works which are related to deen. That means he's not one of them. These traits used to be in those kind of people that we used to say that these are people who have got nothing to do with masjid, madrasa, with deen, with Quran Sharif, with sunnah. Now it has come out from them and he says it has become like contagious, what we say contagious, that it has now spread so much that now children do the same with their parents. There is no honesty and openness and truthfulness between children and parents, parents and children. Both of them are behaving in the same manner. Then it has also come to student and ustaz. The students have got hypocrisy and nifaq. They pretend to show the ustaz that we have got great love for you and we admire you and we take your word to be the final word in everything. And on the other hand, the ustaz seems to show that he's got great piety, taqwa and sincerity and ikhlas in his teaching. But in reality, neither does he have it, nor does the student have it. Now we are talking about the general condition. There are exceptions in everything. Those days there were very few exceptions when it came to nifaq and hypocrisy. There were few exceptions. I mean, there were few people here and there. It is like the time that has been predicted which will come. The people will say that there is one honest person, one trustworthy person, and they'll give you the gist and the meaning. That in that whole area and locality, wherever the person is living, then if somebody asks that I want to trade with, I want to sell, I want to buy, or I want to give my daughter in marriage, or I want to engage in some other kind of business deal or anything. So is there anybody honest and reliable? Oh, I'm going to go on a long journey and suffer. So I want to leave behind my documents, my power of attorney. I want to leave behind my cash, my gold and silver. So is there anybody that I can really trust in this area here? In the locality that I have moved in, now suddenly I have to go, is there anybody here? So they will say, there is one person down the lane somewhere this side. There is one person somewhere down the lane this side. Now look at the difference. At one time we would have said that everyone from this end to that end you can trust. Everyone that you see in the first saf or the last saf of the masjid you can trust. Everyone that you see wearing the kurta and topi and dhari, you can trust. You can give your daughter and inshallah you won't regret. He won't turn out to be a druggie. Or he won't turn out to be a fake. Or he won't turn out to be a person who will be abusive. And everyone who's teaching in a Darul Uloom or teaching in a madrasa or making imamat, or who is got the title of an alim and a hafiz and a qari and a haji, then you can trust all those people. What a difference. People will say, no, don't even trust these people. Go down the lane here somewhere, there is one person. So he said, it has come out from there and it has entered now, the whole society it seems to have entered. So much so that there's nifaq and hypocrisy between ustad and shagir, shagir and ustad. And then, the cherry on the top is, that the people where they go for islah, where do you go for islah? The person who is an alim also, sometimes he wants to go for islah. And he needs sometimes islah. Because kitabs is something else. Noor and nubuwat, you can't get from the kitabs. You can get ilm and nubuwat from the kitabs. The noor of nubuwat you get from the ahle batin, the people who've got batin right, the hearts right. You get noor and nubuwat from there. So now they go there. So that relationship supposed to be the best. Because here there should be no other maqsad, no other purpose. The shaykh also should have nothing else in his head and mind except Islam. That this person must get connected. He must give up all his weaknesses and sins. So that is the niyat and the maqsad. That to get rid of akhlaq, which is razila, the bad akhlaq, bad character, all the weaknesses. Get rid of that and bring akhlaq-e-hasana. Or akhlaq-e-fazila, or akhlaq-e-hamila. All this good akhlaq to bring in. Those, that should have been the only maqsad. Not the wealth or the property or the daughter for marriage of the murid, or his car, or his business, or his gold and silver, or his position that because he holds a high position in the government, so now he'll be of assistance and help to me. That should not be the maqsad at all. So when there was a good relationship, and the murid also became murid for no other purpose except that, that he wanted to make his batin right, he wanted to make his islah, he also didn't have different kinds of aghraz, different kinds of intentions, that I want to get close to the sheikh so that I become popular. Or that he becomes close and he comes to the majalis or he comes to the programs, so that he may get to know many, many of the people who come and attend the programs of the sheikh. I'm not talking about my majlis, I'm not even a sheikh. But I'm talking about generally, this is what happens. That in many places, the person will go there, and then he sees that this sheikh has got a lot of murids. And many of those murids are in big business, or somebody is selling cars, or somebody is in hardware, or somebody is a doctor, somebody is a lawyer, somebody is a teacher, somebody is in the government, somebody is in parliament, somebody is in cabinet, some of those mashayikh, they got people from the government and everybody come in bayat to them. So now this person didn't go there so that he may also get islah of his nafs. He goes there so that now he may get the addresses and telephone numbers of all these people, so that the moment he's got some need of his, in one telephone call he say will do the job, because he say I'm also murid of the same sheikh as yours. Can you see what kind of aghraz shaitan and nafs can bring? And then he takes advantage of that sheikh's popularity. He takes advantage of that and puts his house right. So now therefore the person will not benefit no matter how many years he can spend after that. Because the aghraz and the maqsad was not right. That is that nifaq that we are talking about. Now with the sheikh and murid, if you're going to have that kind of nifaq and hypocrisy, where can you expect any kind of islam? I think will be blamed, as I always say, that if some ummati of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is doing wrong, can anybody blame Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? But unfortunately, he says this nifaq and hypocrisy has entered now even the shaykhs, and it has entered the murids, even the mashayikh now. So many of them have distributed khilafats just because that person was very helpful when it came to material things. So he gave him khilafat. Now is that khilafat for that purpose? How many of them have just given khilafats like toffees? I mentioned that one person from one locality, one town. He says someone came from one country. And then he took him around for collection, donation. So he was, because he was well known in that town, so people looked at his face and gave that Maulana a lot of donation for his institution. After he finished, he said, "Main tumhe khilafat deta hun." So he doesn't even know what this khilafat is all about. He's phoning and asking me, he said, "Now you gave me khilafat and ijazat. So what do I do now? I don't even know what's the starting point." So I asked him, "Then how did he give you khilafat? On what basis did he give you?" He said, "I took him around for collection." I said, "MashaAllah, there's khilafat of collection then. And you are an Amir and Khalifa of collection and donation. Now is that khilafat?" Years and years, people were disciplined, and when the Shaykh was convinced that this person now deserves some kind of ijazat, then he was given ijazat. Not that anybody that came and made some zikrullah 2-3 days and spent a few days and to give him khilafat and ijazat. Yes, some people, they were already like dry wood. All that was required was just to put one matchstick and it lit up. So for them it is different. They had already been through other mashayikh, and that one passed away, that one passed away. And now he came to the third one. Now he's already disciplined, he's already got his akhlaq right, he's got his muamlat and muasharat right, everything right. Now the only thing that was left was to be given ijazat. So the example for that is like the person who was cooking biryani. Shaykh gives an example, the person cook was cooking biryani. Now the biryani was almost cooked, everything was ready. It just had to be steamed. But before the steam, that Shaykh's steam came out, he passed away. So now he passed away, now that cook's steam came out, he passed away. So now if he passed away, now you won't start from wood and coal again. You bring wood and coal again, light fire, and then start from A to Z, and then go at the end of it again and steam. All it requires is just a little bit of steaming, that's all. They say, dam, give dam. So that's all, they'll move the pot and steam it out. So like that, somebody has gone through the mill, he has been drilled, he has been reprimanded, he has been shaken up, he has been tested and tried. Now he's ready, and the Shaykh passes away. And then he becomes bayat upon the hands of some other Shaykh. So now he's not going to start him again from Alif Bata. Then if he gives him same day also, same time also, khilafat, it's acceptable. But this business where the person just came and just 2-3 days is with, or a few months is with, or even if a few years is with, but he can see, the Shaykh can see that the person's akhlaq hasn't come right. His dealings are not right. He's still crooked. So then he has to wait until he straightens him. And some people, he delays it, although they are straight, but he delays it. Doesn't mean everybody that it is held back is because they're crooked. Some of them it is delayed because that Shaykh has got a certain kind of standard on which he wishes to see his Khalifa. So he doesn't dish it out just like that. How many people thought that I had a lot of Khalifas and all, until finally they came to know there's only two, and that too they got after so much period of time. One of our Qari Sahib is in Pro, and the other one Maulana Dawood of Peter Marist. So this is what we are saying. That there has to be no other maqsad. He says, now this nifaq and hypocrisy, it has become an art. And people try to hide. They try to hide what is in the heart. The outward praises, sometimes the Shaykh gets carried away too. Outward praises. So many people went to the Shaykhs and praised so much that the Shaykh thought, well, this is the right person for ijazat and khilaf. As soon as he gave that ijazat, then he found that person ran away. opened up his own khanqa, started making murids and halwa paratha and jalebi and barfi, everything started. He made his own pocket full. No mujahada at all, nothing. Nazar of the Shaykh must be solely on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He is the provider. Yes, after that, if he puts into some heart and if somebody gives the person some hadiyah or something, then too he must think that that came from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala put into that heart. Then it is sunnah to accept that kind of hadiyah. But those hadiyahs which are nothing but bribes, like governments full of bribe. So now they use that same nifaq and hypocrisy of bribe to bribe the shaykh into getting khilafat. Now can that be something that will benefit anybody? Those praises were nothing but bribes. Those hadiyas were nothing but bribes. So there has to be ikhlas on both sides. Then you will see the results. Then you will see changes. Then you will see people changing their lives, giving up their sins, giving up their bad habits, bringing good akhlaq in them. Then you will still get the odd and end here and there. But generally the person who comes sincerely with no other intention, then he will see the difference in his own life. He will notice it. I mentioned at the beginning the three signs of a munafiq. One was speaking lies. The other one was breaking promise. So it is a kind of a promise. If I said 25 minutes, it's a kind of a promise. So we have 2 minutes to go for the 25 minutes. So we'll make a 2 minute dua. Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, Ya Zalmilal. يا ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكن اے رب کریم ہمارے صغیرہ کبیرہ عمدا خطا ظاہر باطن ہر گناہ کو معاف فرما ہمارے دلوں کو پاک اور صاف فرما نفاق کو ہمارے دلوں سے ختم فرما اخلاص ہمارے دلوں کے اندر پیدا فرما اپنا قرب اپنی معرفت اپنے یقین نصیب فرما دنیا اور آخرت کی بھلائیوں سے ہمیں مالا مال فرما نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام نے جو کچھ مانگا وہ سب ہمیں نصیب فرما اور جتنے شرور اور فتن سے پناہ مانگی ہمیں بھی پناہ نصیب فرما امت نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کو بھی پناہ نصیب فرما بلیس از آل ود دی بیسٹ آف دنیا دی بیسٹ آف آخرت برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين